Thanks for tuning in to the Animal Control Report podcast, where we help debunk the dog catcher stereotype. A lot of times people think it's a dog catcher when they hear about animal control officers. But here on the Animal Control Report, we change that by taking you inside the day-to-day operations of animal control officers. Not only will you hear stories of animal control officers, but you'll hear from industry experts as well. We are also part of the Keep It Humane podcast network. We have some amazing partners there, so check them out at keepithumane.com/podcast network. You can listen to all the animal control and animal welfare related podcast there. And let's continue to help people help animals.
Welcome to the Animal Control Report. This is a special week because we're doing Animal Control Officer Appreciation Week. And so what that's going to look like is every day we have somebody new talking about themselves, just the awesome work that they do. And today we're going to introduce Jennifer Wallace is what's on the Zoom, but then there's a different name on your uniform. What's going on, bro?
Yeah, I got married. So like it goes, you know, both works. Wallace is my maiden name. Miranda is my married name. I like Miranda. I moved halfway up the alphabet. So, you know, we take what you can get.
That's awesome. Awesome. So thanks for joining us for ACO Appreciation Week. First off, I just want to say thank you for the hard work that you do. I know how difficult this job can be. And so having an opportunity like this, I feel is like we can give back to the community of ACOs. So thank you for taking the time out of your day to day to talk about it. And then hopefully some of your peers get to get the same excitement out of it as we
do. Yeah, thank you for having me.
You bet. So we'll just start with how long have you been an ACO?
So I just passed my 8-year anniversary with Bridgeport Animal Control. And before that, I was for about a year and a half. So I'm almost at 10 years now. So
wow.
Combined. Yeah.
And then for those of you watching on YouTube or those of you watching on Spotify, which you can watch, they're both, we got to introduce your dog who's just chilling. I love this guy.
This is Geronimo. Geronimo is from the animal control where I work. So I can actually say I rescued him because he managed to get himself all trapped in some rocks at Seaside Park when the tide was rising because he's very cute, but not the brightest, which, you know, is true of a lot of our very loving dogs. But he, what was that? That was 2017? Yeah, it was 2017. So I've had him since then.
Dude, he's adorable. And the way he's sitting right now is cracking me up, man. He's just like, hey, this is my time. Here. That's so super cool that you, is he the first or the only animal you've adopted from the job?
I mean, no, he's the only dog. I have a single dog household, which always shocks people. They're like, oh, you only have one pet. I'm like, that's not what I said. Yeah. That's not what I said. I've brought home, I have a ball python named Dibs because when I saw him there, I called Dibs. He was trying to get into a garage in April, on the night of a snowstorm. Cause you know, in the Northeast, we always get hit with like one last one at like the end of our March and April. So,
sure.
I also have a hognose snake, Western hognose named Sawyer, who was left behind in a U-Haul. And despite like going back in their logs and trying to see if anybody lost a pet because they're not native here, the Eastern sure. are, but not the Western, sure. Nobody ever claimed him. So he came home with me. So
how cool. That's awesome. I love hearing that. Those are the fun stories that like this is what we want to highlight. So in the almost 10 years that you've been doing the job, when was that click? Do you recall a certain case or a time where you're just like, you know what, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing?
You know, it's funny because I don't know if that really happened for me because that click happened for me as a kid. Mm. I used to do foster work for, 501c3s and everything. And one of them was connected to an animal control. And we ended up having this dog that had been abandoned in a garage in a crate and then left in his own mess and everything. And he was severely under socialized, very scared, lots of behavioral help needed for him. And I just remember thinking like, I want to be the person that, you know, helps these dogs, but also make sure that justice is gotten for these dogs. So I did that volunteer work and then I went to college and I double majored in animal care and criminal justice up in Worcester, Massachusetts. So there was always kind of like, this is what I want to do. And I really hope I get to do it for a very long time because it's all I like to do. Like I'm a one trick pony. Like this is everything I do. But then, you know, throughout Really settling in and working in Bridgeport and being the chief ACO there and getting to put some ideas into play and watch things kind of grow. I think every year, I think I've kind of hit a stride and then something changes and I'm able to do something different or better. And so I hope it never really totally hits where I like take it for granted and I keep kind of learning and growing because I think that's what's really working for me right now.
Bro, that's so valuable for you to say that though, because I think a lot of times, just in any type of work, people can get stagnant, right? People can get normal, just normal, if that's a word, normal to their to their surroundings. And I love hearing you say like having that ability to continue to like grow and just see things differently, because this profession is often changing. And the cool thing, and something I'm grateful for, is like we get to meet ACOs throughout the world, not just the country. And so what is something do you think may be specific to you in Connecticut, right? Connecticut, Bridgeport? Yeah.
Connecticut, yep.
What is something that you would say is like m like I'm in Southern California, right? So it's going to be different. We're just different worlds, right? So like what do you think may be something that's specific to you in your line of work up there that may be different to other folks, maybe Texas, California, Florida, et cetera?
I think that there's this impression, because we have a lot of imported animals into Connecticut, and also Connecticut is kind of what people consider to be this like drive-through state. Either you're going up to New York, or you're coming down to New York, or you're going up to Massachusetts. So we get a lot of like importation and everything, and there's this impression that like our shelters must be empty, that we have room to take on all these other dogs. And unfortunately, we, especially in the past like year and a half, 2 years, have seen this real influx of displaced animals entering this arena of like needing to be rehomed, whether it's animals that were already in homes, animals that have been imported and cannot stay in the homes where they were intended to go. Our rescues are full and our shelters are full. And so what I've been kind of working on in Bridgeport is calling attention and awareness to the issue and going, listen, like, I'm not saying that we can't help, other animals. I'm not saying that, southern dogs or island dogs aren't also experiencing issues because they are. And every ACO's perspective is extremely valuable. But it's one of those things where when the plane is going down, you put your mask on first, right? We can't make room
Sure.
and clear, space for these animals until we acknowledge the fact that, hey, we are not operating below capacity anymore. So I've been in Bridgeport for 8 years now. I want to say in 2016 we hit capacity a couple times, and then since then we're able to keep it really low, either through Facebook and social media use, adoption events, things like that. And in the past 2 years, it's really been I can do all those things that were previously effective. And they were effective. In February we'd have four dogs available as the largest shelter in the state of Connecticut. And now we're looking at, I have 30, almost 40 animals online available for adoption, and that doesn't account anything in our quarantine building, on stray hold, in a pending case or anything like that. So we're operating at capacity more than ever, even for it being like our slow season.
I'm so glad
So
you brought this up, because I'll be honest, as I stereotype, just like anybody does in a lot of cases, I would assume because you're up north and it's like different socioeconomic classes, et cetera, that you'd have four dogs. And I think it really hits home for that access to care stuff that we talk about on the program a lot. It's like, like you actually do have quite a bit of animals for you guys, and it's good for people to know that. Do you do any community-based like outreach or education?
Oh, absolutely. So, as far as outreach and education, we're in schools, we're talking about it, but right now, for my particular shelter and what I'm doing, it's social media is king, right now and in the day and age we're in. And so connecting with all the other groups, connecting with, we have about 22,000 followers for our page, really trying to make it so they understand the human side of animal control, because I know there's the animal side, we all get that. But there's a human side of animal control and us trying to keep things humane and keep things moving in a way that fits all the goals we've had and all the standards that we've set. When you look at the conditions that southern shelters are forced to be in, whether it's being open admission with way too many animals coming in with not enough staff, and then you apply those conditions to a northern shelter, but you expect the outcomes to be different, and you demonize those other shelters. You go, oh, well, they, that's not fair to any, you know, shelter staff to go like, well, how, I could never do that job because I just love animals too much. It's like, I do it because I love them more. But when you take those conditions, you apply it to these northern shelters, but then you're still expected to, you know, never euthanize for space or time, which we haven't in Bridgeport for 10 years.
Sure.
You go, okay, if that's the expectation, then we have to rise to the occasion. We have to make some changes. We have to make spay neuter more available to the population. We have to make sure that, you know, rabies vaccine clinics are out there. So that's something that we do, and trying to get them out, not just for the $20, but for free, like free rabies vaccine clinics, do a couple hundred animals at a time. So we've done that for a couple of years.
I just went to your Facebook page and followed it. And it's it's Bridgeport, Connecticut Animal Control.
Yeah,
and there's TED Talks, dude. Or yeah.
Yes.
I'm seeing, and obviously I can't listen to them since we're currently talking on the, but I'm just scrolling through the page and it looks really cool. And also it even has like, there's posts about helping CT pets, Connecticut pets. So awesome, awesome, awesome work there. Are you, I see you have tattoos.
Yes.
Do you have any work related tattoos?
I don't have, I mean, the tattoos are all animal related. So, you can't really see because it's on the inside of my arm, but this guy here is my dove. That's my pet. And then the rest is like natural history of birds my Archaeopteryx. So I love birds. I love getting out in the field and working with birds and reptiles. I'm really a nerd. You can probably see behind me. I have like my, Jurassic Park and snakes and everything, you know, so I'm a little bit of everything.
I have a tattoo challenge. I'm a tattoo challenge I want to talk to you about, but before I do, what is your favorite bird?
It's gotta be my dove, man. But doves and pigeons, they are so maligned. Okay. Like,
you know what's so cool about pigeons? Like, so we had one recently that we impounded and it was banded. No, that's not true. That's not true. It wasn't impounded. It was just a follow-up for it. It got injured somehow, and so it was just a follow-up for medical care. But it was a racing bird, right? It was a
yes.
And so I start talking to the guy about the racing world of pigeons, and it's incredible the distance that they go, the way they track them, the way that they can make it home. Like, it's fascinating. So they're actually they don't get as much credit as they should.
They are incredibly smart birds. They make great pets. A lot of people, you know, are looking to have a pet bird and they're looking immediately at your parrot type birds, whether it's conures or a cockatiel, or going all the way up to your actual larger parrots. And they don't realize, there's a lot of sunk cost into just getting that bird. And those birds all tend to end up outliving you. And when you get them later in life, people don't realize you have to write them into, you know, wills and have plans for your animals, which you should have regardless, you know, for any animal, so that they don't end up in a shelter system.
Sure.
But, you know, when you talk to them about like, well, what do you want from a bird? It's like, oh, I want them to be very social, or I'd like them to be interactive or anything like that. It's like, well, have you considered, you know, a pet pigeon or a pet dove? Because my pet dove, obviously he's tattooed and I love Geronimo to pieces, but he is not yet.
That's why, you know, what's crazy is when you started talking about it, he left the couch. He was like, what? He was like, why am I not on there?
He's like, oh my God, we're going to talk about bird again. yeah, no, my dove's name is Archimedes, but I just call him Burb. He is an absolute mama's boy, and he is my little feathery soulmate, and I love him to pieces. But he's very interactive. He's very friendly. If he does like bite, it's playful, and it doesn't draw blood like it would with a big, you know, parrot beak and everything. They tend to be nice, clean birds. They don't make a huge mess with their food. They're not as expensive to feed long-term. It's just, they're great pets. So that's where I'm going to stop on the pigeon and dove soapbox, because I could go and go and go, because I do really like to stand up for them when I get them in the shelter, get them into good homes and everything. But they are underappreciated birds overall, but also as pets. So if you see one in a shelter near you, and you're thinking about adopting, do some research and, you know, give them a chance, because they're amazing.
It's so funny, because what I was thinking about when you were talking about them and we obviously have different experience than most people, but these people that actually believe birds are not real crack me the hell up.
Oh my goodness. That they're all government surveillance drones.
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely. So, do you want to hear about the tattoo challenge?
Sure.
I'll put a photo in here for the people that are watching on YouTube or Spotify. So I accidentally came up with this challenge when I was teaching a class on animal hoarding. And what happened was I drew these two cats on the whiteboard and they're horrible. I might be able to put them in the chat so you can see them. Let's see here. They're absolutely horrible. But two of the classmates were like, bro, I'm getting that as a tattoo. And I was like, stop playing. You're not getting that as a tattoo. And sure enough, two students got them as a tattoo. And I was like, what? I was like, well, now I feel obligated. Like, I can't not do this tattoo challenge. And so I then, the next time I taught the class, which was about 2, 3 months later, I showed the tattoos to the group and I was just kind of talking about it. Like, hey, so this happened. Like, I don't know if anybody's interested, but I have to go get this tattoo after class today. If anybody wants to do it with me, let's do it. And so they were like, ah, we're down. So two other guys got the tattoo. And so the three of us are getting the tattoo. And I'm there and I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do now? And like, what happens when like I talk about this and somebody else wants to get the tattoo? And they're like, it's easy, bro. They're like, you were talking and teaching a class on animal hoarding. Like, why not just have the person who gets the tattoo draw a kitten and then you get the kitten tattooed underneath the cats that you were showing? So like the whole idea was to show like how fast in a hoarding situation cats can multiply in, without having access to spay and neuter. And so the idea
Absolutely.
now, so if you get this tattoo, and I'm gonna get it to you here in 2 seconds, I'm just getting it over in the chat. But if you get the tattoo, then you get to draw a kitten, and then I will get the kitten underneath the leg here. And
That's too funny.
people can see it as I talk now. I know it's not great, but it's still funny. Here you go. It's going to be in the chat in 2 seconds. Let's see what you think.
Oh my gosh, that is too funny. You just keep
It's,
going.
so yeah, and then underneath you get all the kittens. But anyway, I digress. Any other like positive, exciting stories you want to share? Anything that comes to mind when it comes to the love of the job, doing it for this year, this many years, like how that,
You know, it's like, so where I work, it's the days that aren't exciting that like let you take like a deep breath, I guess, because you know, you mentioned, oh, cats, you know, breeding out of control. Well, you know, a couple weeks ago we took 27 cats out of a studio apartment and apparently started with like three. So, you know, that's a long day and it's a busy day and everything. But I was actually thinking the other day, I was sitting on, you know, my kennel floor, that I thought was dry. And it never quite is, you know.
so true.
And I had a bag of treats, and I'm working with this dog that's like just not having a good time in the kennel, is very undersocialized, and you know, just really fearful on approach and everything. And we just had this like breakthrough, and she got the zoomies, and she got the zoomies like crazy in the kennel run. And find out, hey, this dog knows all sorts of tricks. This dog is now making like a connection here. And I just kind of was thinking, like, now that you mention it, you know, the one of the things that I love most about my job, you know, is those little moments of doing something good for an individual. And it might be a person, it might be a person that stops and thanks you. But that was the most recent one. This was the day before yesterday. That she had gotten those zoomies like that. And I actually put it on a video and everything. And I was showing the other staff, because she had been, you know, cowering in a corner. And it's like, look at this other side of this dog, and that she had, you know, a breakthrough with how her emotional state was doing. And so, you know, I was able to give that to her for, you know, a little while where she was able to feel good and play. And then we were able to do some work and everything. And I think that when the job gets very overwhelming, it's really good to like dial it back. And try to think of those little interactions. It doesn't have to be, I fixed an entire city. It doesn't have to be, I fixed, you know, this huge problem in a day. I don't have to put these big things on a resume. What I can do is like take these little moments and these little changes that positively impacted maybe just one individual, whether that individual is animal or human. And I can go home with that and I can go to sleep and I can start again the next day. So that's what's kind of kept me going for 8 years in Bridgeport when people made bets saying that I'd be gone in a month because I started very young in a very big city. So.
I love that. And I just want to say, I shared almost that same sentiment recently, and I share it a lot when I get the opportunities to travel and speak to other shelters and animal control officers, is you have an opportunity to impact someone or an animal positively. You have an opportunity to change somebody's world in some aspects in a good way. Now, granted, can we also change it in a bad way? Sure, but likely it's because something bad happened and we have to be responsive to that. But, and I don't know your outlook on life and what your beliefs are, et cetera, et cetera. But I will say for me, my purpose in life is being able to help people. And if we can help people and animals at the same time, that is such a huge impact, like a life changer, that not many people get that opportunity. So I just think if you can help one person and you can help one animal throughout the entirety of your life, you've made a difference in the world. And we get to do that on almost a daily basis. And I think it's so special for us. I really do. And so
It really.
I just want to thank you. I really do. I want to thank you, not just because it's ACO week and whatnot, but I just want to thank you for being an ACO and doing that hard work.
Well, thanks. I think people forget for a job that, leads with animal control officer, how human the job and the career really, really is, and how, when you talk about humane law enforcement, like those first letters, are still human, even when you are very focused on the animals and operating in that sort of mindset. The interactions you have with people, not just the animals, but with the people, really do make a difference and keep you going.
Yeah, for sure. Check out the second message I sent you. You can see all the results. You didn't get to see that yet.
Oh, there we go. Oh,
I
that is so funny. Oh my gosh, the one
know. So the one leg is a simulation of what it's going to look like. That's not.
Okay. I just thought they were like, we got tired. We're just gonna keep going all the way down this line.
That's what's going to happen. So every time someone
I
gets
mean,
this, they draw the kitten and then I add it to my calf. And it's going to be this big calf of all kittens. So I might even sneak a dog on there just for fun to see if anybody can catch it.
and then start doing the bunnies on the other side because they're
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I was thinking I got to
you're
do something for
covered.
some. Oh my gosh, I'll be covered so much. Well, Jennifer, this has been a pleasure for us to have you again from the Animal Control Report. We want to say happy ACO week to you and everyone else out there doing the hard work. You're always welcome back on the show. You're a friend of the
Thank
show.
you.
So,
Back at you.
yeah, thank you for hanging out with us for a short period, and we look forward to continuing to help people help animals. And
Yep.
like we always say, keep it humane.